Our scripture today is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, and you're all also very fortunate because we have a bonus scripture today. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. Let's pray first. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this, your word, which we are about to hear. We ask you that our hearts and minds are open to receive it in the way that you desire us to receive it. May it sit upon our hearts and become a part of our spirits, that we may live it and live your love wherever we may go. We pray also today, Lord, for your blessings and your mercy upon the sermon. May it too be used for your honor and your glory alone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. Hear now God's word. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. For Christ alone. So we are still going within our sermon series covering what it means to be United Methodist Christians. And through this book, it has six chapters, we're on chapter 5. Now, this particular chapter reminds us about one of the things about John Wesley's theology or John Wesley's understanding of Christianity. Last week, we learned the theology of Christian, and through the Bible study, if you were there, we read about the characteristics of a Christian. Characteristics of a Methodist. And the interesting thing for John Wesley is as he went and described 17 points of what it means to be a Methodist or what a Methodist looks like, for John Wesley, what it really comes down to is that his 17 points describes what it means to be a Christian. For him, a Methodist is a Christian. And a Christian is a Methodist. A Methodist is nothing more, nothing less than being Christian. Of course, as is with all denominations, there are certain aspects that are kind of brought out more than others, depending on the denomination, but John Wesley didn't think anything like that was important. If you are Methodist, you should be proud to be a Christian. That should be your major goal. Now, as a Methodist Christian, John Wesley had, there were two sides to a Christian life. And really, they're just two sides of the same coin. There was personal holiness and social holiness. If you go all the way back to John Wesley's Bible club that he had, the Bible Moths or the Methodists, whatever you went by, you read scripture, you prayed, you fasted, you gave alms to the poor, and you visited people in prison. And when we look at that very small list of what a Methodist looks like during that time, what you have is you got personal holiness, reading scripture, praying, and fasting. Then you got social holiness, giving alms to the poor and visiting the those in prison. For John Wesley, that was Christian life. And in a very general sense, a very simplistic sense, it could be boiled down to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. For John Wesley, the Christian life was you study Scripture, then you take what you learn from Scripture and you use it. Now, today we're going to focus on the studying Scripture part, and then next Sunday we're going to go to how it's used in the Methodist Church for others. Now, John Wesley also had another thought about Christian perfection. Christian perfection for John Wesley, let me say it this way, because I know I've taught this before. Did John Wesley believe that you can reach Christian perfection in this life, on this earth? Did he believe you could do it? Any thoughts? Answer is yes. John Wesley did believe that you can reach Christian perfection in this lifetime on this earth. And it's because John Wesley's understanding of Christian perfection wasn't don't sin anymore. John Wesley's understanding of Christian perfection was different. And it's from this verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. For John Wesley, this verse encompassed Christian perfection. So let's break it down real quick. John Wesley thought that the Christian who draws closer to Jesus Christ each day in their life through sanctifying grace should rejoice always. Now, when we say rejoice always, we're not saying always be happy. We're saying rejoice always, meaning, and there's some overlap with giving thanks in all things, meaning rejoicing in God's presence. All of these, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks, are all through Jesus. So we rejoice in Christ always. Looking like if you have a terrible thing happen in your life, lost a job, cancer, car accident, whatever it might be, and it may be so many more things, we rejoice always. Not in those things, but rejoice always that Christ is with us through those things. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. I praise you that you are with me in the midst of whatever it might be. Pray continually. Now, we've tried praying continually before. I taught you the breath prayer. You breathe in and you say, you address God in some way. Dear Heavenly Father, great creator of this world, lover of your people, however it is you want to address God, you breathe in and do that. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, and you breathe out for the friends you have given to me. Through the breathe in, you address God. Through the breathe out, you either ask God for something, praise God for something, or, exhort God, petition God, or whatever else. It's a prayer or you again address God. Dear Heavenly Father, creator of all. Dear great, loving Holy Spirit, be with those in the car accident. Dear Heavenly Father, help me to find my way. Whatever. But breath prayers, even if they become habitual and you do it without even thinking, John Wesley, by praying continually, when he read that, he means so much more than actually praying continually. What he means is living a life in prayer. So, for example, what we do is we eat dinner, right? We all sit down and we eat dinner and we say grace. And the grace that we say looks something like, Dear Heavenly Father, bless this food to nourish our bodies and does us no harm. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, if you sat down and you didn't say that, John Wesley wouldn't be so upset if you live a life of prayer continually. Meaning that if you eat that food in a spirit of thanksgiving, then you are praying in the midst of yourself eating. You recognize that the food that's in front of you is from God, and so you will eat it in such a way that gives God glory. Prayer's not magic. The words that we say aren't magic. It's the heart in which we pray them. It's our life in which we live. It's the power that God gives us through His grace that allows us to see and to live in a way that's prayerful. When we go to the store and we see the people there, and we say quiet prayers to God that these people might be blessed, that they might be know God, that they might know God through my actions in this place. And when we address them and talk to them, we do so in a prayerful manner, in a manner that's thankful for who they are, for who God created them to be, for seeking God in that person and for that person. For John Wesley, a life lived in continual prayer is a life seeking God in all things, at all times. And then the final thing, give thanks in all circumstances, again, is similar to rejoice always, in that when we're in the midst of the best or the worst moments of our lives, we give thanks to Christ for helping us through this, for being with us in the midst of this, for giving us strength when we didn't think we had it, for giving us peace when we had trouble finding it. We give thanks, not necessarily for what's going on, but for God being in the midst. And knowing that through no matter how difficult it is, whatever it is, that God can use that for God's glory. How many times have we looked back on those difficult times in our lives and thanked God for helping us through that moment? For seeing how it was able to touch other people's lives, wishing still that it never happened, but still thankful that God used it the way God did. John Wesley added an ending to this. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And John Wesley said, short of this, we should never stop. Meaning that in our Christian walk in life, as we're following God, we should never stop short of rejoicing always. We may not reach it, we may not have it, we may not be doing it, but we should be striving for it. That in every area of our life, we should be trying to rejoice always in Jesus Christ. That our journey in Christianity is just that, a journey, right? It's a movement. It's a traveling. We should never be standing in one place, but walking towards God. And part of that is seeking to rejoice always. And then in our life, we should be reaching towards praying continually, living a life of prayer, being continually open to communication with God. We should never stop short of that, but always work towards it. In giving thanks in all circumstances, we may not do it now, but we should be trying to through the Holy Spirit in our life. For John Wesley, he thinks that we should be striving for this and thinks that some Christians can reach it in this lifetime. He never said that he did, though. He also said not only stop short of it, but he said, further than this, we cannot go. We can't get any better than this in our Christian walk here. So we should always be reaching for this wherever we go. And the only ways to get into this kind of way of life is through what John Wesley called the means of grace. To experience God's grace within our life. And for John Wesley, means of grace meant Bible study, worship, scripture, sacraments, communion, and baptism. So for Wesley in being a Christian, mark of a Methodist, that those who are seeking out Christ and want to attain these things should be seeking God as often as possible. Worship's part of that. When we come and we gather on worship on Sunday morning at 11:15 or whenever it is, and we worship God and praise God and lift up God within our lives, and we focus on God through scripture reading, and we rejoice and praise God through hymn singing, except for when the music doesn't work. But we try anyway, however it might be. Worship is about doing this together. When the body gathers and we look around, and that fellowship and that connection is such an important part of Sunday morning worship. But it's such a cliche for pastors to say, but there's truth in cliches, which is Sunday morning is not the only time that we're with God. Not by a long shot. And Sunday morning is not the only time that we're supposed to worship God and praise God and draw closer to God. The rest of our lives are supposed to do that also. I try to pray and to be reminded that on Sunday morning at 12:15 or whenever it is we end up leaving, that we're not leaving church but taking church with us, because we're all part of the church. We each represent a part of the body of Jesus Christ. And so as we go out into the world then, we seek Jesus Christ still through scripture, through fasting, through prayer, through Bible studies, through devotions, through silent meditations. Because at the core of a Christian is someone who loves God. When you love somebody, you seek to be with them. You want to know more about them. You're excited for their presence. God loves us and so draws us towards him through his sanctifying grace. God loves us and so desires to be with us every moment of every day. God loves us and builds a place for us that we may dwell with God forever. God loves us so much that God corrects us and admonishes us when necessary, that God blesses us and gives us the things that we need, truly need. And so the desire to seek God who loves me is also there. That I desire to love God more, to find fulfillment in Christ's presence, to serve God as best as I can so that others might do the same. But you know, I'm not always very good at that. I praise God that when I was younger, 14, 15, 16, 17, those years, I had a habit of reading the Bible, a chapter of the Bible, every single day, and I hardly ever missed. Every single day I would read the Bible, and I learned a lot, and a lot of what you get today is because of those years. Because then when I went to college, I kind of went away. I was focused on other things, got distracted, lost my way a bit, and started to miss those moments in the Word that I used to do every single day. And so throughout my adult life, I tried to get back to that. And I'm still trying to get back to that. And some days I get there and some days I don't. But it's the weirdest thing that happens. And maybe you can relate to this. But when I get there, when at night or in the morning or during the day I'm reading God's Word, I'm loving it. I love being in God's Word and hearing what God has for me and what God has for the world and how God loves in the way that God loves. And right now I'm in an audio, doing the audio Bible version, and I'm listening to Leviticus. Even Leviticus, it's dry and sometimes hard to understand and still feels alien. To see God in those moments and in that word and just to hear what God has, even if I don't completely understand it, is a great joy and a great blessing. And after I do it, every single time I feel thankful that I did it. I feel good. I feel like, thank you, Lord, for these moments. They were wonderful. And it boggles my mind why then it's so hard to do it again. Even though I know I had great joy and great love doing that in that moment, and then when it ends, there's so much thanksgiving in doing it, and then when I have an opportunity to do it again, I'm like, I got other things. Where does that come from? The world that we live in, and the fallen world that we live in, tries to take us away from God. The world gives us other things to desire, to want, that aren't nearly as important, and yet sometimes we blow them up too far. John Wesley, and of course Jesus Christ more so, desire for us is for Christ alone. That our lives be a reflection of Christ's love. Our desire is to get to know Christ more and more through these means of grace. Not just for their own sake, but also so that we can live the life that God has prepared for us. And that's more of that next week. The means of grace that John Wesley points out are an important way for us to know Christ. And I pray that we seek them throughout our lives. Scripture, worship, prayer, and communion. Not just on Sunday, but every day of our life. I thank God for that opportunity. Let's pray today together as we hear this final prayer. Be people of joy. Let joy live in your heart and share the joy of Christ with all you meet. Share joy by seeing the good in each other. Share joy by remembering good times and hoping for good times to come. Share joy by praying for our world. As you go out into the wonder of God's creations, share joy, peace, and hope with those you meet. Amen and amen. Go in peace.